we came to the harbor for just what the harbor says, you know, a place to rest, a place to be, get repairs. You know, that's where a ship goes to get repairs and get restocked for another trip out or another season. And so my boat's been in dock for a while over some things and dealing with things in my life. But I just want to talk to you tonight about not quitting, because there's an attack on men right now, because God is wanting men to step to the forefront and step up and take our place in the house of God where we are supposed to be for so long. And I thank God for the praying women that we have. I thank God for the women that have held it down and intercede. But you know what? There's nothing like a man that intercedes and step forth and takes his place in the kingdom of God. And that's what God is wanting to do in these days and in this move of God. He is wanting men to step forward. Amen? We've gotten things out of order because men has not stepped up and taken their part in the house of God. Come on. You know? So there's an attack on men. So the devil don't want us to do that. You know, I've read the book of Why Men Hate Church. I don't know, has any of y'all ever read it? Okay, in there it talks about why men don't like to go to church and why they don't like to go to extracurricular functions at the church and everything. And it talks about, well, because, you know, when we go, they want you to hold hands with another man, or they may want to hug you, or, you know, it makes guys feel uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? And that's what they're talking about. Yeah, Bible says greet your brother with a holy kiss. Everybody can kiss Tim if you want to. but the deal is, if I have to grab Eddie Joe's hand, stand, come up here with me. If I have to hold hands with Eddie Joe, if I have to hug Eddie Joe to get some of the things that he is better at that I am, things that he's gifted at that I may not be gifted at, if I've got to hang around with him, if it takes me holding his hand or if it takes me hugging his neck to spend time with him, well, he just better get ready, because I'm going to hold hands with him. Because he's got some things, finances, different things of that nature that he's good at that I may not be good at. And that I need some guidance and I need some wisdom. We can't run this race by ourselves. I got one amen out of that. We can't do this by ourselves. You can't do it all by yourself. You've got to have, yeah, amen. You've got to have some people with you to help you along. And see, John's got different talents than Eddie, thank you, brother, that Eddie Joe's got. And you've got different talents that this one's got. And we've got to quit being uncomfortable as men with one another. Come on. We want to feel like we in control of everything. Come on, let's just tell it all. And we ain't in control of nothing. Just ask your wife. She'll tell you. Right? We want to feel like we in control of everything, and that we've got it all under control. We can handle every little situation. We can make it all work out some way, somehow. But we exhaust ourselves to the point to where we are neglecting our relationship with God. Because we're trying to do things so much in ourselves and trying to get it all done, trying to handle this, make sure we're getting this done around the house and that's done and working and everything. And the one thing that goes lacking in our lives is our relationship with God. Amen. And when that is neglected, everything else begins to come unwound. Everything else begins to come unwound. But see, what you need is somebody that you can pick up the phone and call and say, hey, look, I'm having a rough day. I need some help. I need somebody to hold me up. I need you, Tim, I need you to pray for me right now. But we always want to give the, I'll pray for you. Come on. Yeah, when I pray tonight, I'll pray for you. When we should, right then and there, we should pray for each other. It's not a sign of weakness, man, when you ask for help. Amen. Come on. It's not a sign of weakness when we need somebody else. I'm going to tell you, if over the last 3 years, if I wouldn't have had some people I could call, I don't know where I'd be. I really don't. If I didn't have somebody I could talk to, yes, I had my wife, yes, I had my kids, but I'm talking about somebody that may be going through some of the same things I was or has gone through them and know how to come out of it. Amen? Amen. And all the time, just to be honest with you, what it was, I needed to talk it out because my perception was wrong on it, on some things. How many of you believe that your perception can hinder your reception? How you perceive something will determine how you receive it. See, with the woman at the well, she looked at Jesus and she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now, if she wouldn't have perceived that he was a prophet, she couldn't have received from a prophet that day. She would have received as just some guy that offered her water. But because she saw him as a prophet, because she saw how she perceived that situation. A lot of times we look at a situation, especially if you get a text. Just think about it. I hate texting. You look at it, you're like, well, are they mad or are they not? Come on. Well, he just said, yeah. Is he mad? It's how you perceive that answer is the way you move forward in the situation. And a lot of times we perceive that we're strong enough to handle it on our own, and we're not. We think, oh, we got it covered. I prayed once today. I read a few scriptures. I'm good. But there's times that you need another man. You need somebody to help you out. I'm going to turn to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. I'm going to read this. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So that right there tells me we need one another. You get dull without somebody else. Come on. You get to the point to where you just... I'm going to tell you, just to give you a little quick background. Grew up the day of Louisiana. Then children's pastor, youth pastor, associate pastor at a church. Then pastor of a church in Monterey, Louisiana. We moved here. Helped pastor Redemption Outreach Center over in Albany, and then we became pastors there, and then we went over to ACC and helped pastor a little while. And in amongst all that, trying to do things myself, thinking I had things in control, I started neglecting things in my life. I started neglecting some of my time with God. I'm just being transparent with you here today. And it got me to a point, because of situations that happened, because things that were said or things that maybe I thought were said. How many times have you done that? How many times have you gotten upset and gotten all in a fury and all tangled up over things you thought were said that away? Every day. Because of your perception. Come on. And therefore, so I'm not saying that there was things said the way I took them. Some were, some may not have been. Some may have been said, not said in the same context that I possibly heard it in. Because the enemy is going to try to make you hear it the way he wants you to hear it to throw you off course. Amen. And that's what he done with me. And here I am, pastoring a church. I've led worship time, done just about whatever we needed to do in the church. But here I was allowing the enemy, not knowingly and not willingly, you know, just open the door and said, okay, here, do it. But because I didn't keep my guard up, because I didn't let other people try to sharpen me, come on, because I didn't share with other people, let other people in, I began to let the enemy put things in my mind that weren't true. They were lies. But I began to believe a lie. How many of you know that if you hear a lie long enough, you'll start to believe it sooner or later? So I got to that point. And long story short, it's kept me down. It's kept me tied up, knotted up on the inside, trying to deal this, thinking that I needed to be taking care of more of this and neglecting this. Thinking that I needed to work more, make more money, have more finances for the family, make sure everything was perfectly taken care of. And in that, saying I'm too busy to do ministry. I'm being real with you tonight, guys. I'm not standing up here preaching something out of a can that somebody else preached 2 weeks ago. This is me. This is what's happened, because I feel like it's happening to other men and that they need to see that there's people out there hurting just like you are. There's things that you deal with that I dealt with on a daily basis. I would have to deal with whether I failed or whether I'd done this right or what did I do that was wrong, you know. And then all the time believing the things that we believed in religion all these years, that because maybe I neglected it or, so to say, walked away from it, that it's going to take me 6 more months of Bible college, 6 more months of walking behind the pastor carrying his Bible everywhere he goes, come on, just to get back to the point to where God would use me again. Amen. We've been raised that way. We've been raised that way through ministry, that God is standing up there with a big, huge fly swatter, and the minute you mess up, he just pop and says, all right, now get over here, and I'm going to rebuild you. And you got to prove to me again. You got to go through all this suffering again. You got to go back around the merry-go-round again to get back to where you was. When you know where God was the whole time I was away, I wasn't away from him. I was coming to church, okay? But I wasn't as close to him as I should have been, and I wasn't doing ministry like I should or trying to move in what God told me to do. So what I was doing that whole time is I felt like I had to do more to get back to that point. You know where God was the whole time I was thinking that? He was standing right there where I left him. Right there. All I had to do was turn to him, ask him to forgive me, and to move and begin to use me again. Amen. And that's what we got to do. Man, religion has gotten so twisted. I say this all the time. I hate religion. I just love Jesus. I don't like all the man-made rules. Now, there's some that are good, and we need them. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, okay, well, I've seen them take people out of the pulpit for growing a mustache. Yeah, you'd be in big trouble. Big trouble with all that. Look, when I was in the internship program, I come to church one Sunday without a suit jacket. And got scolded. Come on. You can't preach on the platform unless you got a tie on. I'm glad I got delivered from that. You know, all those regulations. Just think, you know, us as men, it's time we just stop for a minute. Close our eyes and put off all the religious stuff, all the denominational things that we've been taught over the years as far as what you got to do to be good enough for what God wants you to do. You'll never be good enough because we were born into sin. We're saved by grace, and the only way we can do what God has called us to do is by His grace. So no matter how hard I work, no matter how many times I read this, no matter how much I pray, and I'm not belittling reading and praying, don't get me wrong, but no matter how many times I do that, no matter how many times I carry the pastor's Bible, how many times you clean the toilet at the church, or how many times you come in the door when there's a church service, none of those are going to make you good enough to do what God has called you to do other than the grace that He poured out on the cross. Amen. That's the only thing that's going to make you good enough. And we get, guys, it was such a revelation when I went and sat down and talked with some people. And they just begin to bring up some things, and we begin to pray over them, and we begin to break them and move them out of my life and deal with the things. It was so easy once I began to deal with them. But we as men, we hard-headed and don't want to deal with stuff. We don't. We want to just push it to the side and say, hey, you know, I'm going on. And we as men get hit with all kind of things. We get hit with the finances. We get hit with the well-being of the house. We get hit with the grass. We get hit with everything. And then the wife starts in. Don't put that on tape. I get in trouble. You know what I'm saying? All those things. Amen. We get hit with every one of them. And we get weary. Or I get weary. I might be the only one. Y'all may have it all together, and I hope you do. But we get weary sometimes. And then instead of us just clamming up and holding it inside and about to explode, we need to have godly men around us that we can talk to. Godly men. And now, Let me say this, that after tonight, if somebody comes to you, what they say to you needs to be a safe place. Okay? You don't need to be godly and share it with everyone. You know, it's not gossiping in the church. It's, can I share something with you? It's still gossip. I just want to share with you so you can pray for them. You know, how many of you have heard that one? If I come to you with something and tell you something's in my life, it's not for you to expose it. It's for you to cover me. It's for you to cover me. One of Noah's sons wanted to expose his nakedness. The other one backed up and covered him in his time of need, in his time of hurting. Hey, he slipped. He was a man of God. God gave him all the dimensions. Yeah, he messed up one time, and there he was naked. And one son wanted to show everybody, but the other one covered him. I want the one that wants to cover me. Because I'm not perfect. And that's what we need. That's what each of us needs, is somebody that'll cover us. That when you have problems and you have a situation, that you don't have to worry about, is Keith going to share it with everybody else so they can pray over it? Come on. Y'all been in all those old sister tea parties where they share everything, you know? But we need, it needs to be a safe place. And right here in this house is a safe place. And there's people in this room that I've told things and I know it's not been talked. And so this is a safe place. I'm going to turn to Job chapter 23 right quick. Verse 10. But he knows the way that I take, and when he's tested me, I will come forth as gold. A lot of times we want to curse our hard times and we want to curse our trials and we want to pray them away and we want to say, God, deliver us from it right now. And sometimes he does. It's depending on the trial. But sometimes we need to just ask God, God, let me learn what you want me to learn through this test so I can move on. In other words, after you test me, I want to come out the other side as gold. That's right. I don't want to take that test again. You want to come out the other side as gold. And that's what I want to do. I know that there's pressures in life in each of us and that we have to deal with things and we have to walk through things. But I want us to learn it the first time and come out the other side as gold. And I want you know, if you come to me with something, I want to be able to help you come out as gold. And I hope you the same way with each one that's here, that we need to come that way as gold. And just going back to the perception thing, a lot of times we get into situations. If I would have learned this a little while back, I could have looked and seen that some of the situations that I was in, they were in a different light than what I looked at them at, and it wouldn't have kept me where I was for so long if my perception would have been correct. I could have received the right way out and the short way out instead of seeing the long way, having to just fight through it and just letting it come in. Because I'm going to tell you something, if you get some things in your spirit and you begin to look at them in the wrong way and begin to believe in some lies, now you may not know they're a lie at the time, but you need to trust it and say, Holy Spirit, is this going to be a truth or is this going to be a lie?
Amen.
And that way we can deal with it as that. Because here's the deal, you sit there and you believe that lie long enough, it'll bring bitterness into your heart and into your life, and it'll cause you more pain than you want to deal with.
Amen.
Trust me. I've been there. Done it. And when the pressure comes, you know, pressure, like we said, is a good thing. You know, pressure is what makes pearls or diamonds. Pressure on coal makes diamonds. And I got a video clip I want him to show. Y'all have all probably seen this, but I really like what this says, and I'm going to finish up and bring this to you after he shows this video clip.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yeah, you're Rocky. You know, that's true. It's not how hard you can hit. It's how hard you can get hit and keep moving. Amen?
Amen.
I want us to, hey, we're going to get hit. I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're not. I'm not going to sit here and tell you things aren't going to be tough. But, hey, when we get hit hard, we just need to keep moving, keep going forward, get with someone. Begin to pray. Begin to ask another man of God to stand with you and to help you. And get our perception right. Look at the things and make sure the way we're perceiving something is the way we want to receive it. Because I know I don't want to receive a lie. I want to receive a truth. So we need to make sure our perception is correct. Amen?
Amen.
Our perception. How you perceive is how you receive. And I know a lot of us has been hit this week, and last month, whatever. Are you going to keep moving? Got to keep moving. Got to keep going. And that's kind of where me and the pastor was talking, and he said, what do you need? And I said, I need you to push me a little. Because he's not the type to push people unless you ask for it. And boy, did he just push real quick, fast, and in a hurry. But you know what? It's what needed to happen. And that's what we need is somebody when we go to them. They're going to help us and do what we need. Amen?